Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, and we're going to read through verse 15. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Dave Buhner once shared with me that his house burned down one time. And he said they lost everything, and he said it was one of the best things that ever happened to him. It's hard to comprehend that statement as being a good thing. As many of you know, last Tuesday afternoon, fire began in the Black Forest. Emma and I were out in Colorado Springs at the time, and we were about 2 miles south of where the fire started. Right when it started, I saw the beginning of the fire. I jumped out of my car, and Emma and I were looking over the ridgeline and taking some photos on my phone, and I realized at that moment that this was not good. I didn't know it was going to turn into quite what it was, but I was out with Emma, had some errands to run. Tanya was out, and we had other children at home, and as the fire raged towards the east, I knew that I needed to get home pretty quickly because we didn't know what was going to happen. Well, at 9:30, the deputy sheriff, just about 6-7 hours later, deputy sheriff came by, gave us a little visit with a warning that we were probably going to be evacuated, and it was time to start thinking about what we might get out of there. And sure enough, an hour later, we did get the evacuation order and had to leave. It's interesting, at 9:30, I signed up for reverse 911. And an hour later, I got the reverse 911 call. Well, what do you bring when you think your house is going to burn down? What goes through your mind? You only have a little bit of time. You don't have an Allied moving van out in front to pack everything up. You can't take it all with you. So what do you bring? Me, I went for the practical. I got our guns. I got my hunting bow. Got some clothes. Got our computers. Got my Greek and Hebrew textbooks, and I got my systematic theology notebook from seminary. Tanya went for the memories. She went and grabbed a wedding dress, grabbed as many pictures off the wall as she could, and started packing teacups from England. Jack wasn't there, but we contacted him and asked him, is there anything left in our house that he would like us to get in case it burned up? And all he asked for was some old Hardy Boys books that he thought might have some value in the future. Peter wasn't home either, and we asked him what he wanted, and he said, I want my big blankie that Mommy made for me many years ago. She made him about a 9-foot-long blanket that he still uses to this day. Well, Reed was home, and Reed's perspective was, how can I help? He didn't think of himself. He was thinking of his mom, and he went around packing things that he thought she'd want. A sewing machine, a serger, a Vitamix, a Bosch mixer. None of the things actually that she wanted packed. But his heart was one of selflessness. Peyton packed hangers. Bless her heart. Not clothes, but hangers. Because she knows that Mom likes to iron. Emma packed her rats, as I call them, the little stuffed animals that they like to play with. And then Faith. Faith said, all I want to pack is my Bible. And then she said, no, two of them. Just in case we need another. Then on the way out, she shoved some flowers and leaves into her pocket to remember the house by if it had burned down. She turned to her mother and she said, "You know, Mom, it's all going to burn up anyway." Mom had to load some toys for Faith because she wasn't getting any for herself. Well, the evacuation order came. It was very surreal. We packed up the convoy, all three cars with only two licensed drivers. Reed's on his permit. Hopefully nobody is going to listen to this on the sermon audio because Reed drove one of our cars away on his permit only. And we went up to the Fines and put the Suburban and travel trailer in their yard. And like so many others, we slept in the Swanson basement that evening. So many others have done in the past, rather. But it's good to have friends, and so many offered help, and the Barnes let us stay there last night. We appreciate our brothers and sisters. And all in all, we had a sweet, calm spirit, trusting in God. We didn't know we had raised the children that well in many ways, considering their response. We had to get to a conference, and during the conference, many of the attendees commented that they noticed that our children had a calm about them that they found surprising in the midst of it all. Well, on Tuesday, the fire was coming right towards our house, directly at it. And then the wind shifted, and it went south for about a mile and a half, and overnight, it kind of died down, and we kind of thought it was over. But we were up in Denver at the conference now, and on Wednesday, the wind shifted, and it blew north. And then it actually came much closer to our home as it destroyed everything in its path, coming within a half mile of our house to the west. So we didn't know what was going to happen the next day and where we were headed, but we had a lot of work to do. I was checking the news about every 15 minutes on my phone. And just 10 degrees of wind shift probably to the east, and it probably would have jumped Meridian Road and taken out our home. But God is a God of degrees. So it was an emotional roller coaster, much to do at the conference. I had two talks on Friday at MC duties and other responsibilities, and Tanya was helping out with part of the conference that she wasn't intending to do because some of the people who were also in pre-evacuation didn't show up at the conference, and that needed to be done. Reed was actively engaged helping volunteers who were there. There was a whole lot to keep us preoccupied. Well, I took a look at wood, hay, and stubble, precious metals, and gemstones, and see when do they burn. Well, hay starts to burn at about 180 degrees Fahrenheit. Water boils at 212 degrees at sea level, as you know. Wood starts to burn at about 572 degrees Fahrenheit. Forest fire typically rages at about 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And Mark White, who was one of many who was out there helping and looked around, he said the ground was so hot you could barely stand upon it with the boots on. So fire burns in a forest fire at about 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Silver doesn't start to melt, though, until 1761 degrees Fahrenheit. Gold doesn't start to melt until 1945 degrees Fahrenheit. Sapphire wouldn't start to go until about 3,722 degrees Fahrenheit. Diamond, 6,500 degrees Fahrenheit. So Paul seemed to know what he was talking about what things will burn up in the fire and what things will remain. The fire will leave behind the precious metals and the gemstones. The wood, hay, and stubble will be gone. Now, Paul was speaking of our works clearly for eternity more than he was speaking of these things, as he says. He assures us that Christians who have works that will burn up will still be saved. Christians who have works that burn up will still be saved. Those who have the precious metals and the diamonds and these things, they will receive a reward. If you jump over to Matthew 6 with me for a second, as the week went on, the scripture kept coming back to us. Tanya shared with me this morning. She was comforted by Psalm 103. And I thought of Matthew 6, and I'm going to read this starting in 19 and go to the end. I know we're very familiar with this passage, but just consider once again, sisters and brothers, what it has to say. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth to corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. My little Faithy, at age 7, I think understands this more than I do. She's ready for that reward. Praise be to God for his Holy Spirit working within her. She just says, give me my Bible, and I don't really need anything else in preparation for eternity, for it's all going to burn up anyway. I wish I had the faith of my daughter sometimes. Well, at the support group leaders brunch on yesterday, Carol Barnier was a speaker. She made a comment that was very interesting. She said, when we come upon others and are disappointed with their words or actions, we're often quick to judge them, having no clue what is going on in their world at that time. And I know I have not extended grace to others at times, only to find out later they were going through a very rough time. I explained to you recently that my father was pretty sharp with me over the last few months, and it was very disappointing and discouraging to me. And then, as you know, I found out he was diagnosed with cancer, but he hadn't shared that with me yet. He's proceeding with radiation treatment, and I do appreciate your prayers, but more for his soul than his body. So yeah, I've had a tough last 2 weeks for several reasons with a pretty heavy load, heavier than usual. We rolled a video at the Czech conference for the AME program, and right in the opening scene of the one video was Carrie McMinn. I almost broke down on the spot. At other times during the week, I thought of our home that we love and our beloved Black Forest. We moved into it for a reason. And thinking of all the loss of homes and the trees, and teared up real good. But of course, I had to hide it because I had a job to do. And others count on me to be strong and lead inside and outside of my family. Well, during this week, when I didn't quite meet somebody's expectation, or I disappointed someone, or one of my children was struggling, I thought it would break like the camel with the proverbial straw on its back. The fire was raging in the Black Forest, but it was also raging in my heart. I really needed something to put that fire out. Well, one night after the conference day, one of the board members, Chuck, made it his extra effort to encourage me that he thought I was doing a good job. Many of you here have offered for us to stay in your homes if we needed. And friends across this land have prayed for us and sent us a lot of warm wishes. And that was a blessing as well. And yesterday, right as the conference ended, I got pulled out of a meeting because they said somebody was there from Iowa who wanted to talk to me. Well, I thought it was just a conference attendee. Maybe had a complaint or wanted to say something to me about that. And I went down the hall, and there stood some friends of ours, Rich and Barb Heckey from Iowa, with a gift in their hand. They just wanted to give us a hug. Say they were thinking of us. They gave us some journals because they didn't know if we had lost our home. They wanted us to be able to write down our thoughts or draw pictures. Well, as the fire in the Black Forest was subsiding, so was the one in my heart. And I remembered one more piece of scripture to cling to in our time of need. Mark 9:41 says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. These good deeds done by Christ's people to us this week, while the fires were raging, were cups of water for us at a time that we desperately needed them. And both Jesus and Paul affirm that they will not lose their reward. Brothers and sisters, we must remember to extend grace to those around us who fail to meet our expectations. For perhaps a fire is raging in their world, and we might bring them a cup of water, too. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are the God of fire, that you are the God who burns up the wood, hay, and stubble, that you preserve the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Father, there are many things we do upon the earth, and we know that if we be in Christ, even though our works might be burned up, you will save us all to the uttermost, for we trust in Christ alone. We cling to your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Oh, but Father, we do thank you for the works of the saints that are precious in your sight, where the body of Christ uplifts and holds each other and cares for one another and loves one another. Father, I ask that you would forgive me for the many times that I have not done that, perhaps carelessly and thoughtlessly looking to a brother or sister in disappointment for their words or for their actions, and not giving them the grace that you give them. Father, I thank you that you are the judge and that I am not. For you are a merciful judge and a good God, and you care for your saints. And we thank you, Father, that we should look to the future and not worry about tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. May we trust in Christ and not in the things that are built upon this earth, as faith said, will burn up anyway. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before God.
Thank you for listening to our messages from Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Our church has been meeting in public school facilities for many years. Because of political pressures and shifting worldviews, it will be increasingly more difficult for us to continue renting public facilities. Hence, we are thankful that the Lord has provided us real estate for a building in Elizabeth, Colorado. We are now in the process of constructing our new building that may be used for regular worship, discipleship, shepherd's conferences, and other ministry events. Presently, we have about 75% of funding necessary to complete the building. If you would like to contribute something to this project, we invite you to visit our website at reformationchurch.com. That's reformationchurch.com.